This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yesterday, Mike Florio was trending in DFW, our buddy from ProFootballTalk.com, and it was because of his comments on San Francisco and what they should do against Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Here is what Florio said.
You know what? At a certain level, I think that And I want to be careful here because I'm not suggesting that they try to knock him out of the game. That's not what I'm saying. But at a certain point, you trade the risk of 15 yards if you can send a message. And football is still a physical, violent game. If you can hit him, even if it's close to the sideline, even if he's maybe started into his slide, when the championship is riding on it, I think it's a different analysis. And yeah, we may give up 15 yards or half the distance to the goal line. I mean, that's the thing, Peter. If somebody had blown up Patrick Mahomes inside the five, okay, it goes from the four to the two. Right. Big deal. So again, I'm not saying that that should be part of the deliberate effort, but the Super Bowl is riding on it. And if this guy's going to think that he can just run through the defense without any physical consequence, they need to dispel him of that notion the first time he tries.
And of course, the internet came for Mike's head, especially out of Kansas City. Florio joining us on the buyersafety.com hotline. What was your day like after that yesterday?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was a Twitter phenomenon and only a Twitter phenomenon. I noticed nothing in any other channels. And what happened was, and this is what amazed me, because that clip in and of itself, I said what I said. I said I'm not advocating injury. When a quarterback becomes a running back, all too often we see defensive players pull up and shy away from hitting the quarterback, especially when he strays toward the sideline. And in the open field, there's always the concern he's going to go into a slide so they don't get that radar lock on him and get in position to go in and give him a hit, because by the time you get there, you can't stop and he's into his slide. So what happens is the quarterback running toward the sideline lulls the defense into a false sense of he's going out of bounds, and then he just keeps running. And I've seen that time and again this year. And that's the ultimate point. If the guy's going to run, he's a running back, and too many defensive players just watch him keep running like the Titans did. And my point was the 49ers trying to win a Super Bowl are going to be more likely to treat a quarterback like a running back, and they're more likely to hit him. And again, I don't know how many different times I can say it. I'm not saying you should hurt him. I'm not saying you should apply a cheap shot. I'm not saying hit him when he's out of bounds. But if he's at the sideline and you're not sure whether or not he's going to step over by the time you get there, you can't pull up. There's a gray area that applies when a guy's near the sideline or when a guy may slide, that if you stay away from that gray area, he's not going to stop running. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to say, oh, well, thank you for pulling up. I'll step out of bounds here. He's going to keep going like Patrick Mahomes and other quarterbacks do. And so, I mean, the bottom line is people saw what they wanted to see. They heard what they wanted to hear. But that's not what I said. It's not what I believe. I'm one of the biggest Patrick Mahomes fans out there. But part of our job when we analyze this game is to tell people why things went right, why things went wrong, and how things may go the next time two teams get on the field on a pretty big stage in Super Bowl 54, and how the 49ers may handle the situation differently.
Do you think that, you know, because we talked about Clowney and Wentz, like, how much of this is actually discussed in the locker room before the game? Like, hey, if we have a chance to put a late hit on him and maybe get him out of the game, let's take it. Not saying that we advocate for it, but it happens.
No, I don't think it's ever put like that. I think what happens is you've got coaching of guys regarding the limits as to what they can do with a quarterback. And you look, in practice, who's the one guy you can't touch? You can't touch the quarterback. So how much repetition does a defensive player ever have, other than in a game, into how to properly and timely hit a quarterback? You can never hit him anyway. You're getting no reps on how to go attack a quarterback who decides he's going to run the ball. Just because the guy takes off running in practice, he's still got the red jersey on, you can't touch him. So you've got defensive players who are very conditioned to regard the quarterback as this fragile object who is different from every other player. So then when you're in a game and he sheds all of the passing protections and takes off running, I feel like they freak out, right? He's near the sideline. We're going to pull up. Or, you know, we're out in the open field and we want to go in and hit him like a running back. Well, no running back is going to slide in the open field, but a quarterback's going to. So by the time you've committed to the contact, how many times do we see that where the guy commits to the contact and he can't stop and he hits the guy while he's sliding? So that's the problem, and it results in guys not playing as physically as they could or should with a guy who becomes a running back and abandons all those protections. So what I think happens is you've got some guys on some teams who are conditioned to go easy, but then you've got guys like Bill Belichick and maybe guys like Pete Carroll who say and drill into their heads, you treat the quarterback like a running back. And, you know, you don't lower your helmet and cram it into Carson Wentz like Jadeveon Clowney did, and he should have been flagged and he should have been fined for it. But when you hear things like, you know, you want him to think twice about running it the next time, you're going to have guys who are tempted to go too far like Jadeveon Clowney did. And again, you know, look, I want to be as clear as I can. I am not advocating in any way, shape, or form, and I'm not suggesting. I'm trying to analyze what the 49ers are going to do. They're not going to be like the Titans were, where they just watch this guy run by, through, and around them into the end zone. I don't think they're going to do that. And when you're talking about a Super Bowl, that gray area that we see guys in all the time where they pull up and watch the quarterback run by them because they don't want to take the risk of a penalty because maybe he steps out of bounds by the time I get over there and hit him and I can't stop myself and I don't want to give up 15 yards, it's a different analysis in the Super Bowl where instead of shying away from that gray area, maybe they jump right into it. Now, what Jadeveon Clowney did to Carson Wentz was well beyond the gray area. And the protection that Carson Wentz had is the same protection any player would have. You're not allowed to drop your helmet into a guy. And again, he should have been fined. He should have been flagged. There's no place for that in today's game.
That's the only slight issue. We weren't outraged by it. The only slight issue I took with it was the slide comment because I took
That's it. But you got to put it all in context, and you can't just use that quote. You got to look at the article I wrote today that has the initial comments and the full. It was if he's close to the sideline and maybe at the start of his slide. And I'm talking about the situation where you lock on to the guy. Think about it. You have a running back. And it happened last week with Daniel Sorensen and Ryan Tannehill. Sorensen, safety for the Chiefs. Tannehill, quarterback for the Titans. Sorensen saw Tannehill coming, and he began that movement like you would toward a running back, right? You accelerate, you drop your shoulder. And if Tannehill had decided to start into his slide at that moment, Daniel Sorensen is risking a 15-yard penalty because he's not going to be able to stop. You know, if Tannehill can just start that slide before Sorensen gets there and Sorensen hits him while he's in that slide posture, what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to throw a flag? Yes. So my point is, you can't let yourself get paralyzed by maybe he's close to the sideline. Maybe he's going to start into a slide. You've just got to go hit him like he's a running back, or you're going to get on the wrong side of a highlight like all those Titans players where it looks like Keystone Cops trying to chase down Patrick Mahomes. That's my point.
We covered your article yesterday. Very interesting. You're the only one kind of coming out with this number suggestion. You've been telling us for a year this is what the Cowboys should do with Dak's contract. Can you explain what you wrote yesterday about it on ProFootballTalk.com?
Well, remember when we talked about this last June after the report had come out that he wanted $34 million a year and you guys lost your minds?
Yes.
And I said, well, if you give him the Jimmy Garoppolo contract right now, if you rip up his remaining deal and you give him 5 years, $27.5 million, is that fair? You guys said yes. And I said, well, if you do that, it's going to get recorded and reported as $34 million a year because of the new money analysis. And that $2 million that Dak was making in 2019 made it very difficult to get the kind of a fair deal in place that you would need. So now that the deal has expired, and now that the Cowboys have to choose franchise tag, non-exclusive, where they run the risk of somebody signing him to an offer sheet that they can't or won't match and getting two first-round picks as compensation, that's about $26, $27 million. Exclusive, which means no one can talk to him, no one can try to sign him. That right now would be $33.4 million. They have to decide which way they're going to go. And look, the end result is, and I think the timing is, you do it before you have to apply a franchise tag like the Ravens did with Joe Flacco 7 years ago. and you do something in the range of $31 million right out of the gates. And that's, oh, well, hell, that's better than $34 million. But the thing is, $31 million from signing, at signing, as of right now, that's a much better deal than the $27.5 million deal that could have maybe gotten this done during the season. But that old money, that $2 million that was still on the books for last year, that's what screws these averages up. Look at Russell Wilson. He's right now at $35 million per year in new money. But his contract at signing was worth 31.4. So 31 for Dak, kind of in the middle of the non-exclusive and exclusive franchise tag. I think that's the neighborhood where this thing gets done because of the leverage that Dak now has and because of the fact, look, if they franchise tag him, he doesn't have to show up for anything. Good luck getting your team ready for the season. If Dak Prescott says, I'm on the Le'Veon Bell plan, I'll see you the weekend before week one. What are they going to do then? So they got to get this done before the time comes to apply a franchise tag. I think they will. I mean, remember last year DeMarcus Lawrence gave them that artificial deadline of not getting shoulder surgery until I get my deal done, and they got the deal done. I think this will get done right before the time comes to apply a franchise tag. And if it doesn't, the season becomes very interesting for the Cowboys.
Let's say Dak tests the waters. What would he get on an open market? Not a Cowboy, a complete open market.
Well, but he's not going to get to the open
market. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, if he was, like, you know, because people are always asking, well, would anybody else give him $30 million? You know, what would Dak's value be to the Bears, to the Jaguars, at Miami, anybody? Chargers.
If you could get him without having to give up two first-round draft picks, I think somebody would offer him at least $30 million. At least. Look at what the Vikings have gotten out of Kirk Cousins the last 2 years. And I mean, Dak Prescott had almost 5,000 passing yards. He carried that offense, and he's got the mobility. You know, Cousins got $28 million, and he's a statue. Dak Prescott has the passing skills plus the ability to extend plays, run if need be. I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's if he was available on the open market, he would at least get $30 million a year, if you don't have to give up the two first-round picks. The challenge is, and this is part of the analysis the Cowboys have to engage in, if they use the non-exclusive tender at $26, $27 million, what would someone potentially put together to try to take him away from the Cowboys, knowing they'd have to give up two first-round picks? I mean, hey, Bill Belichick may not have a quarterback, right? Tom Brady may be moving on. If I'm the Patriots and I know that I could get Dak Prescott for my low first-rounder this year and a likely low first-rounder next year, I'd at least think about it. You know, and that's the thing. We don't know what these coaches think deep down about Dak Prescott because they have no reason to tell the world. But I think that somebody would be ready to cough up $30 million a year if he was on the open market free and clear.
Are you getting any feel for what's going to happen with Amari Cooper or Byron Jones? Yesterday, Will McClay was quoted as saying, yeah, you know, Byron's a starting level corner, and we were like, uh-oh, maybe that means goodbye.
Yeah, I look, they can't keep everybody, right? And here's the problem with Amari Cooper. You give up a first-round pick for him in the middle of the 2018 season, and you tout him as your 2019 first-round draft pick. How can you only keep him for his rookie season,
right,
which is what 2019 essentially was. And you know, the Cowboys with Cooper and Dak, the Titans with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, the Buccaneers with Shaquille Barrett and Jameis Winston, those three teams may be secretly hoping for no new CBA by the start of the new league year, because if there isn't a new CBA, they get a franchise tag and a transition tag to use. And I think the Cowboys, at a minimum, would love to be able to put a transition tag on Amari Cooper so they can match whatever someone else would offer him, instead of just letting him walk away free and clear and hit the market. But they got a problem. And the moment they gave up the first-round pick for him, that was the criticism. You know, by saying this simulates our first-round pick, well, but you're paying him a load of money now, and you don't get the benefit of those first 3 years where he's cheap, and you're going to have to pay him based upon that franchise tag or, you know, 20% raise over his fifth-year option, and it's going to be hard to keep him around. And he's played it very well. And they may end up losing him. And that's going to be a bad look to give up that first-round pick to get him and have him gone 18 months later.
Thank you for joining us for clarification. Stay out of Arrowhead for a little bit.
I'll see you guys.
Mike Florio, buyersafety.com hotline from profootballtalk.com.
I would go to that dump anyway.
Hey, you never even been to Kansas City, I'm happy.
I've been to the airport, and that's all I need to know. That is the worst airport I've ever been into.
What? Kansas City's a great city. You're way too uppity for it, probably. Down-to-earth people. Barbecue, you don't like it. You need to stay out. Stay out. Stay away.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.